You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Hall of Notes.
Well done, Waddle.
Thank you.
This is a feel-good song.
It is.
Yeah. You made my dreams come true, Waddle.
That's
the Bears
right.
don't.
It's right, bro.
I love this song, actually.
Well,
I think
you want to know something? I consider you and I the Hall & Oates of sports talk radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's Hall and who's Oates?
Who cares?
And who's the better one? Is it?
Who cares? What do you mean, who's the better one?
Daryl Hall and John Oates?
Yes. Like,
I like Hall stands, but people that hate Oates, like, God, that Oates guy. But Hall,
okay, well,
you know,
that's,
pretty
that's
good
not
dude.
How,
that's what I want to know. I mean, were they deemed equals?
Look, this is the day before Thanksgiving, and I'm saying, like, I really like the fact that, you know, we're playing an upbeat Hall & Oates song, and you and I are the Hall & Oates of sports talk radio, and you want to ask whether or not one guy was better than the other.
Well,
and
I wanted to know, because a lot of people look up more to you than certainly me, and
no,
I was going to say that you would be that guy.
Oh,
and Simon and Garfunkel. Like,
dude,
everyone likes Simon way more than Garfunkel.
This is like
I'm the Garfunkel of the Waddle and Sylvie show.
That's not true. This is like a marriage in pretty much every state in the continental U.S. It's a 50-50 split. When the kids break, when the kids force you to break up.
We're not breaking.
It's 50-50. You're asking me which one of Hall and Oates is the better guy. Like,
well, Daryl Hall is the lead vocalist, and John Oates primarily plays the electric guitar.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. When they get together, it's magic. You're trying to create. You know what you are? You're the George McCaskey of this show.
Oh, don't you dare.
You're trying to divide up this family. That's what you're doing. That's what you just did.
He just left. You made him leave.
Good.
Like, that's probably one of the worst things you can say about
someone. Eric, let me tell you something. And I like George a lot as a human. George is a wonderful guy. Let me tell you something right now. If I was driving the Bears bus, and the Bears were a family going anywhere on a vacation trip or going somewhere to visit someone for the holidays, I'd have turned this damn thing around a long time ago. You know how your dad used to say, if you don't quiet down back there, I'm going to turn this car around. I would have turned this car around so long ago. It's insane.
You're the Ted Phillips of the Waddle and Sylvie show.
I am a bit sweaty right now.
Yeah.
I've got one armpit that is sweating.
At least I'm in the family. You're just the outsider who makes stupid moves.
See, like I said, you're trying to divide Hall and Oates, and I won't allow it to happen.
You want some good news, though, really quick?
No, I don't. Why would I want good news? We live in a world of crappy news.
Vooch is available for tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, he'll probably go 1 of 12 and turn it over 9 times.
Stop it. Vooch is back from COVID. He's healthy. That's good.
That is good.
And Alex Caruso is also available
Excellent.
For tonight after the Brewers.
So I'm going to... You know what? I know it's probably a big number because Houston stinks, but I'm gonna put some money on the Bulls tonight.
Yeah, they are. I checked last night. I believe it was 8.
Oh, that's nothing.
Was the line? And I remember when they played in the preseason, they beat them by 40. We'll see tonight. Bulls and Rockets.
Name me a player on the Rockets team.
Well, they're the who's the guy that everyone wants? Wood is it?
Christian Wood.
Everyone wants Christian Wood.
That's the guy that shows up on my text chain every now and again with you guys.
That's Mike Wood.
Okay.
Yes.
Like when you say that,
his name wasn't Mike Wood, was it? Wasn't he just deemed Wood? That was his nickname.
I believe he was Mike Wood.
Was he?
I looked it up. I remember seeing like the eulogy for Mike Wood.
It's the porn star that whenever, like at the beginning of COVID, whenever there would be like a link sent by your buddy saying, "Hey, there's a breakthrough on a medicine, and here, click here. This is from Northwestern," and then you would click, and there was Wood in all of his glory.
Well, Wood
sitting
is
sitting on the bed, right? Was he sitting on the bed?
I think so.
And he's been dead for like a decade.
Yeah, I believe he's in the big porn scene in the sky right now. I don't think he's with us.
He's in the sky.
He's on the big porn set in the sky right now.
He's stirring the clouds right now.
He's still working up there, man. Punching the clock still. Punching something.
See, Hall & Oates, man, it's just inspiring. You made my dreams come true.
I loved that song.
Hey, which one of the guys is the more well-liked guy?
I didn't know much about Hall & Oates. Do you remember when the Blues were good and Brett Hull first came, they had the line with Hull & Oates?
Don't remember that.
Yeah.
I told the fellas, you know not to talk hockey with me, especially in the first 5 minutes of the show.
What do you mean you're Tommy Hawk?
Okay, here's the deal, too. No names are going to be used because I've been threatened if names are used. But my niece, who lives in Boston, I believe is dating one of the Bruins. And I believe that one of the Bruins is going to be at our Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
Tomorrow.
There's going to be a Bruin in the house.
I believe. So the point is I'm going to need to brush up on my hockey between now and tomorrow because I don't.
You're going to try and impress your niece's boyfriend?
No, I just want to. I don't want to sound like a bigger idiot than normal when it comes to everything. So I may get in the Bruins.
How old is your niece?
26.
All right, so she's in the mid 20s. Let me look for a Bruin. It's definitely not Patrice Bergeron, right? He's got to be married,
listen,
right?
Hey, Hall. Okay, buddy.
Could it be a Charlie Coyle?
Hall. I'm not going to. We're not
from Massachusetts.
Can you do me a favor? Let's not play name that Bruin because I've been instructed not to say anything.
You said something. What do you expect me to do when you just said there could be a Bruin at our Thanksgiving Day table?
I did.
You know the first thing I'm going to do is pull up the Bruins roster and look for mid-20 Brewers.
Brewers, yes. There you go again.
Yelich going to be at your table?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, don't be that guy, all right?
We're off to
don't make me turn this car around again.
Yeah, yeah. This is what the Bears do to us. By the way, did you hear right as Greeny ended, he gave a shout-out to Dope Sick. And yeah. I said that, like, you are, right now, you are, like, inside Hollywood. You are the guy, whenever you give a recommendation, you're usually the first that I've ever heard of that show. You're all over all the new shows. Like, Greeny was saying, Dope Sick. Someone at a party I was at this past weekend said, you got to watch Dope Sick. You've been telling me since it came out, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you got to watch
longer
Dope Sick.
Yeah, it's been longer than that. It's
the first week, you have a good knack. You're like a good scout.
Yeah.
Where when you see someone on that practice field for the first time, you can identify if they're good or not. You've been that way with streaming shows these days.
Yeah, I am the Carmen DeFalco, and his niche is gambling. I can do, unfortunately, gambling's not my thing, but identifying good television shows, at least recently, has been. It's a true story.
You could do a streaming Saturday on Instagram.
Yes, it's a true story. It's acted. It's not a documentary. It's acted, and Michael Keaton plays one of the major roles, and I believe, I said this to you the other day, I think he'll be nominated for some sort of award.
Right.
But it's about Purdue Pharmaceuticals and the OxyContin issues. It's a great show. So if you've got some time this weekend and I gotta
catch up. That's what I plan to do. I'm finally caught up on Succession, and I was texting with I'm gonna say his name. I don't think he'll care, but I've used this reference on the air, and he texted me using the reference as well. I was texting with Chuck Garfine about the Bears last night. Chuck he's bothered by the Bears.
Who isn't, man?
He was texting me about the McCaskey family, and the Succession story, it just is very McCaskey-esque, where it is this well-to-do family who's had lots of success as the business. But when you really look at how the sausage is made and how they're coming up with a plan and the backstabbing that is going on behind closed doors and the fight for supremacy within the family. And we know there are like three times as many McCaskies. I want to say even more than that, than there are, what's the family name in Succession?
Oh, yeah.
The Roys.
Logan Roy is the father. And he's got, what is he, have four kids?
Yes.
He's got four kids.
Three boys and a girl.
And they're all looking to, like, take over the company. And there's lots of controversy behind closed doors. It's a media company that also owns cruise lines and everything like that. And the old man's been on the job forever. And there's a lot of backstabbing and backbiting within the family. And I'm like, man, I'm watching the McCaskies here. I'm watching that family try and figure out what the hell's going on you know, with the business.
First of all, like it, like this pains me to watch this because, like it does you. I know, and you've mentioned how you feel about the Bulls and how that all happened. Like I have a personal attachment to the organization, so it's painful to watch this. I'm not oblivious, and nor will I put my head in the sand with it. The reason why this asset is worth $4.5 billion has nothing to do with how they've run their business. They don't own their stadium. They have not been consistent winners, at least in the modern era of the National Football League. They have ridden this wave of popularity that is the popularity of the NFL. If they were a standalone company, they probably would have gone out of business a long time ago. And it pains me to say that because I have a fondness for a lot of the people in their building. But it's just, they've worn me down. You know, I mean, it's, as a fan and as someone that really, and I'll never go away. You know, I heard Cap talking about this today. You're infected with it. And, you know, I agree that I'll, you know, I'm never going to wake up in the morning and not cheer for them. But, like, this is insanity. All of it is. Like, I think you and I have documented a lot of it over the course of the last few years. And not going to be able to connect all these dots in a matter of the next couple of minutes, but like this is the reason why the two of us, Hall and Oates last year, we were sitting there telling people that the best thing for this organization was to move on from the coach and the general manager, and also, yes, the president of football ops. But this is why, and to focus just merely on the general manager and the head coach, this was what was potentially possible. And it's the reason why I think both of us, Hall and Oates, went after this situation and said, look, if you have any doubt at all, cut the cord now. Because what you're going to do is you're going to entrust a general manager who's had several swings at the quarterback situation and missed. And you have a coach here who came here to develop quarterbacks and revolutionize your offense, and he has swung and missed. But now you're going to allow these same guys under the umbrella that is being held by Ted Phillips to possibly draft another quarterback and develop that quarterback. Like, you knew that this type, maybe not this level, I'll leave it, this level of chaos was truly possible. And it's something that the two of us, and I'm not sitting here saying told you so. I mean, there's too much of that going on. I'm just saying, like, you could see that this was potentially possible, and now you're standing knee deep in it.
It's, yeah, I always say it too when we discuss this, Waddle. And last year I was yelling from the rooftops, it starts at the top. And yeah, some didn't want to believe me, even on this radio station. And now they're believers. But, you know, the process has always been my thing. Like, is just someone who tries to give people the benefit of the doubt. If you have a good process behind decision making, I will always give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I don't expect front office people to always hit. We all make mistakes. We all, yeah. But do you have a good process in the way you came to your conclusion? And time again, the Bears have faulty processes. And what you just went through, where, hey, when in doubt, maybe now is the time to cut bait and not let this group of football people make a huge decision on a quarterback, right? And it's a poor process and it lands them here. Now, maybe they end up getting Fields right because
correct
of that.
Right.
Now, but that doesn't mean that the process was wrong. How was Fields named starting quarterback? There's a new story out there, and someone on the radio station, too, a month ago thought that this happened. I want to get to that in a minute. May have been a terrible, terrible process. The way this is going with Matt Nagy, if you want to fire the dude, fire the dude.
Yeah.
We've all said that he's not a good football coach. Third and one and the timeout and everything that ensued, that's ridiculous the way the guy... He's fired himself as offensive coordinator, for crying out loud, twice in the last 2 years. You want to fire him, fire him.
Yep.
But now the craziness going into this game tomorrow and what hangs over the head of all these players and the way your front office, again, has no process behind any of this, is idiotic. So 312-332-3776, if you want to weigh in on what's going on, let's recap what has happened in the last 24 hours, maybe even last 20. Since we left the air at 6 o'clock, Brad Biggs has had a story. There's another story about how Fields got the job that is out there that I want to recap. And what is going to happen with Matt Nagy? Our phone number, 332-3776. Three easy ways to listen, 100.3 HD2. We're now on the FM side. It's AM 1000, like always. And, of course, you can download the ESPN Chicago app.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
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 Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The phone number to reach us is 332-3776. Wednesday before Thanksgiving has always been one of my favorite days. It's that short week. You get the four-day weekend with Thanksgiving. It was always back in the day.
Unless your coach gets fired.
And look, in Chicago sports, Waddle, a lot of coaches have been fired on holidays. Yeah. Specifically with the Bulls in the past. But, like, it's always been a great party day. One of the only drawbacks is traffic sucks. And we are back to pre-pandemic Wednesday before the Thursday Thanksgiving holiday traffic levels. The Kennedy coming in was wall-to-wall. So if you're in traffic and you're trying to get somewhere with us, just sit back and relax and think about that drink you're going to have when you get home and just enjoy Waddle and Sylvie.
I'm with you.
And think about the holiday coming up.
Yeah, it's the reason why I'm actually home, the traffic. I saw Kyle Brandt. Like, was this? I follow Kyle Brandt. I think Kyle Brandt's the most is the funniest, best thing on sports television.
He's your Greeny right now.
He is.
Yes. I have Greeny. You have, and I love Kyle Brandt too. But you have surpassed me with Kyle Brandt love recently. Just,
like, I think there is so much out there. Like, we're inundated with so many shows and so many different things, and it's very infrequent that you find someone I think that entertains you on so many levels. He tweeted earlier today, as always, good luck to all the college kids returning home to their local bars to hook up tonight. Lock and load, Tigers. And then there's a picture.
Lock and load.
There's a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's a gif of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, suiting up and getting out ready to go. But, like, if you remember when you were in college, this was the biggest night of the year.
Right. And even, like, when I was just single living in the city, the Wednesday was a big going out to the bars night. You know, I told the boys, they asked me what I'm doing for Thanksgiving. We're actually going to Wildfire tomorrow. It's our first ever restaurant Thanksgiving.
Not a bad idea.
The pandemic sort of switched everything. We tried it at home last year. My dad did it from, it was the tradition. My dad, may rest in peace, did it for many, many years, was the king of the turkey. Yeah. And a few years ago, we lost my dad. So, like, after my mom carried it on for 1 year, then the pandemic hit. And we're like, you know what? Let's start a new tradition. Let's go out. Let's have Wildfire do it upright. And we've relied on Let Us Entertain You a lot during the pandemic. So we're going there, but usually, Waddle, I drink the night before.
Yeah.
I'm going to go easy tonight and enjoy some television, catch up on the streaming, and watch some Bulls. And then tomorrow, I'm going to get my drink on.
With the family. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of kids running around.
Right, of course.
I think there are going to be three mothers there. My mother, my mother-in-law, my sister's mother-in-law will be there.
Well, there's four. You, because you're a mother.
Thank you.
No, but I think that's a great idea. I think it's cool. Not the drinking part amongst all of the family members, but actually, you know, look, if nobody wants, it is a hassle. It's fun, but the fun part isn't the cooking from my perspective. It's hanging with all of your family members. So if you can hang
with the eating.
Well, that it's all of that. But if you can do all of that without having to clean up.
Yes. Oh, we're excited. We're very excited to, and it's funny because we're in like a little private area, and Zetterman's got the private room right after us.
Oh, you leave him a prize. Leave him a prize.
We're going to leave him with a bunch of sweets all over the table. So this article is written by Hub Arkish. Believe it if you want. There are many people in the media who are skeptical, and as Danny Zetterman, who I just mentioned, pointed out, Cap said this on our radio station about a month ago, or when it happened, 5 weeks ago, when Justin Fields was named starter, that he had heard that it was an ownership move. And this was published on Shaw Media. Bears chairman George McCaskey directed the Bears coaching staff to name Justin Fields the permanent starting quarterback prior to the Week 5 game against the Las Vegas Raiders, multiple sources tell Shaw locals Habarkish. It's unclear how the directive was given to the coaching staff, whether there was a conversation in person between McCaskey and Bears head coach Matt Nagy, or if general manager Ryan Pace was directed to give the instructions to Nagy. The move was against the wishes of Nagy, per multiple sources. Do you believe that? Because I remember asking this to Dan Weiderer weeks ago, and he goes, no way did that happen.
Look, I think that was my response when that was mentioned first as well. It doesn't... There are so many issues at place here. First of all, look, I'm not going to tell anybody that they're lying or that they're wrong. Everyone's got a podcast these days. Everyone's got a blog. Everyone's got a Twitter. Everybody's got a guy. It's hard to really decipher what is something you feel strongly that you can believe in or something you do not. I've worked with Hub for years, and I trust him, and I think he's always got good sources, so I would never sit here and tell you he's wrong. The concept that your owner, who isn't a meddler, and I do know that, would step in and tell the coach that he needs to play a certain quarterback is so wrong in so many ways that maybe it's just my resistance to believe that a nonsensical move like that could ever take place. But again, it is the Bears. If you want a different quarterback to start, guess what? You got the wrong coach. Fire the coach.
Yep.
Fire the coach. And again, I go back to what we talked about in the opening segment. How in the world could you sit there and talk to us about how these are your football guys, Ryan and Matt, and then 3 or 4 weeks into the season, then your point is that you're going to make football decisions that will usurp your football guys, Ryan and Matt? Think about the insanity of that.
Like, we'll go through the process again. Like someone asked me on Twitter, well, Sylvie, wait a minute. You guys wanted Justin Fields to start. But again, to get to that point, which we wanted, this is not the way you want your football team to be run.
By the way, what an individual wants, and like you were more adamant about it than I was. I was fine with it either way. And I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm, whatever the case may be. I think everyone's got a different approach to it. I looked at it from they're not a competitor. Whether Justin starts 15 games or 17 games, to me, when you go into the 2022 season, he's going to have plenty of experience and he'll be fine going through it. Whatever. We can argue about, but whether or not you and I decide when the coach, or when we express when we want the kid to play, has no bearing on what the organization should be doing. And we may disagree with Matt Nagy and how he handled the quarterback situation, but you have to hire a guy and let him do his job. And if you're not willing to let him do his job, then you need to fire that guy.
Right. And then, so let's take it back to that January day when they said they're all staying. Like, he was adamant with us on our one-on-one interview and in the press conference. It's where that famous bite came from. Ryan and Matt are our football guys. And, you know, that's the top of the football chain. They don't need a president who knows football, because the highest it goes with football decision-making is Ryan.
That's their explanation.
Right, that's their explanation. And we don't get involved in decision-making. So you fast forward that and you say, they have faith in these football guys. They keep them. And they decide to let them draft a quarterback and go forward with a plan. Now, all of a sudden, when you could have fired them, you choose 5 weeks into the season, 5 games into the season, 4 being played, after you decided to keep them and to go along with their plan, that you're telling them now
right
to do a 180 on their plan, and you're getting involved and you're being a hypocrite on what everything is involved with.
Think about what you just said and just how horrible that is for the functionality of an organization. I would tell you on two fronts. If you're the head coach who's in year 4, you're getting told by the owner, who can say whatever he wants. He can demand whatever he wants. It's his team. I get it. I'm not denying that. What I'm pointing out is just how awful a system that would be. If I'm the head coach, I tell him that you've hired me to run things in the manner in which I see fit. If I'm Matt Nagy, and again, we're assuming that this report is 100% factual, I tell the owner of the team to fire me. If
right.
You don't
or
like
say,
what
look,
I'm
look,
doing.
I'm going to play who I'm going to play
or fire
until
me.
I don't have this job.
And if I right. Exactly. And if I'm the owner and I don't agree with it and I want to get my ass involved in football stuff, then I fire him.
Well, and this is what we're talking about, that it starts at the top. Again, yes. Even though I agreed that just like where were we going with Andy Dalton? We were on a road to nowhere. Then he got hurt. Yes. So after Justin started to play, the process started. That was my thinking. So let's continue sure. the process here and let him grow on the job. But again, that's not how you do football business.
That's how we do a radio show. It's not how you run an NFL franchise.
They're supposed to be smarter than all of us. 332-3776. Jay Cutler is going to join the show at 3 o'clock. We've got Wilbon on at 4:30. Michael, I'm sorry. What do we got here? We got Wilbon at 4:30, and then we got JD. And 5:15. I went into Ron Burgundy because on the prompter it says 4:35 Wilbon, and then it says 5:15 Michael Wilbon. So I was about to read it both. That's
welcome,
on me.
Welcome to my
so,
world.
Yeah, JD's on at 5:15. All right, so I want to take all your calls, and then we'll go through the Biggs report on what's happened here with Matt Nagy and why it continues to seem, even though they're not saying anything, that Matt Nagy may coach his final game tomorrow for the Chicago Bears. That's coming up next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Ohio players, I'm killing it today.
You are doing well so far, mister.
Yeah. I've told you the urban legend or urban myth about this, right? Listen to the song right now. Listen. You hear that scream?
Yeah,
The myth of the urban legend back in the day was it that they filmed or they recorded this song in a studio, and in the background a woman was stabbed and killed. And you could hear the sound through the recording, and they left it in. Obviously, that is probably 99.999% false. But growing up and...
Oh, that was something that you guys believed?
Yeah, the Ohio players. Yeah, that was something that we talked about.
Wow.
Were idiots, man. Well, like, small town Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
we're all idiots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Cap tweeted 22 minutes ago, and he said, just so we're clear, we reported on October 6th that Matt Nagy did not want to name Justin Fields the full-time starter. This isn't breaking news. The decision was above Pace and Nagy. It was made by George McCaskey. Hashtag meddling owner, at Cap J Hood, at ESPN 1000, hashtag take that. It's something, isn't it? I mean, a year ago when I was preaching about Ted Phillips, Cap said Ted Phillips didn't matter. That nothing has anything to do with Ted Phillips, and it doesn't start at the top, and a president doesn't matter. And now he's finally come over, and he's actually using in his next tweet the line saying it starts at the top.
Next thing you know, he'll be invited to tomorrow's dinner at Wildfire.
Yeah. Says they're awful, and it starts at the top. I've been telling you that for a while.
Yeah.
You denied it. You scolded a caller last year, in the middle of the year, when they called in about Ted Phillips. You said, that's BS. It's not about them. And of course it is.
Again, I think that we all agree that it's not a matter of if, it's when. When will they make that change? And not just when, but... and who?
Right.
So,
like, who get? Are you saying like who's the interim?
Yeah. Or and who else is going to be relieved of whatever?
Right. And who and does again, the firing?
I go back to, I mean, there's so many layers of all of this. I just don't. If you had decided that you wanted to make this decision after the horrible loss to the Ravens on Sunday, you make it then. You don't worry about a short week. Like, that to me is the silliest use of an illogical plan that I can think of.
Right. Or if you don't trust your coach, then you don't keep him into this year.
Of course.
If you don't trust your – and then if you do trust your coach, you let him go on with his quarterback plan no matter
what.
That's
right.
Like,
look,
what is it?
It may not be the plan that you or I would agree with or that many people agree with, but you've hired this guy to do a job. If you want to now be the owner that does like to get his hands involved in the football ops, which is something that George hasn't done, and he has professed that he hasn't done that, then you need to fire the coach.
Right. Really quick. So Brad Biggs, yesterday when we got home, yesterday evening for the Tribune, I saw Big Z, too, at Soldier Field this weekend. He looks great. He's down several pounds. Looks fantastic. And we caught up. It was great to see him. He wrote yesterday in the Tribune that they did have that meeting, that they went into George's office and Nagy met with him one-on-one. So everything that Nagy said yesterday... and look, I guess you got to say that at the podium. You know, you want to say, I don't want a distraction. I don't care about a meeting. It's after the game. You know, obviously, if you're human and your future is being written about, you want the answer from your boss. It's human nature. So he went into George's office. They met. Whatever was discussed, who knows?
This was after the practice. So when he sat at the table and did his press conference, he had not met with the owners yet.
And he still didn't give a good explanation, according to Biggs, to the players. And then he canceled meetings later that afternoon and at night. Now, I don't know if that was a team meeting, if those are coaches' meeting, what type of meetings those were. But that sure seems for a few hours earlier when Matt Nagy says nothing can distract us from Detroit. Nothing that's happening with me will take away from our game plan against Detroit. Then the day before you travel, you cancel afternoon and nighttime meetings. Well, that's the essence of this interfering with all of that.
Yeah, that would lead one to believe that, yes, regardless of what has transpired to this point, that maybe Friday would be a day where they would make a change. Now, I'm gonna be the one guy, because I know everyone feels differently. I'm gonna be the dissenting voice. I'm gonna say, now if it goes sideways and they lose 45-3,
if they lose, he's gone. I think if they lose 16-13, he's gone.
Impossible.
If you lose to the, remember, and I got some highlights I want to play later. The Lions' last win came against the Bears.
No, I know.
The last time the Bears had a 6-game losing streak, which this would make again, was last year, and the Lions beat them for the Bears' 6-game losing streak.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to put
it. It's going full circle of suck here.
No, you're right. Like, I wouldn't bet this game tomorrow with your money, by the way.
I know.
I'd stay away from it, and I wouldn't put any money down on what's going to happen. But just like a gentleman's bet, I would be the dissenting voice here. I'll play the role that nobody else wants to play and say that unless it's awful tomorrow, that they won't fire.
So if they win, you think he keeps his job for another week?
Well, that's what we've always.
What are they doing then? I mean, what's going on?
I know, but that's the way they've always done their business.
Yep, David in the South Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Hey guys, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, right, huh?
So you mentioned before that it's a business, and I want to get your thoughts on something. So we've been very upset, and we being Chicago and the media and everything, about how the Bears have been run, but the McCaskies have not had the incentive to change anything because amidst all the turmoil, we still buy tickets, we still buy merchandise, and so they don't really have incentive to change. So I want to get your thoughts on what if we kind of collectively not stop being fans, but bought less merchandise and bought less tickets to try to speak with our dollars and cents.
Well, this is something that I feel strongly about. Unfortunately, you know, it's a case of you cannot penetrate the shield. Okay. I'm not telling anybody how to use your discretionary income. If you want to go to the game, go. I will not shame you. If you don't want to go to the game and you want to protest by not giving them your dollars, I support you doing that as well. My point has always been, though, the NFL is different than the other major sports. First of all, there are fewer games. So even in a year where you get 9 home games, you're only going to have 10 home games over the course of the year. Before the NFL season kicks off at the end of March, they all get a check. The NFL, you know, the season, the year, the NFL year starts, I think, like April 1st or something like that. Before that year kicks off, do you know how much money they all get? They got $321 million a team this year. Each team, because of the television revenue, that number's only going up, everybody, because there are more entities bidding on things. My point is that when you start from day one with a check in your hand for $321 million. It really is difficult as a fan to have an impact on the economic outlook of an NFL franchise.
Right, right.
Like you can, I think you saw that with the Bulls. When the United Center stops in and you get 81 of these, they started seeing, 7,000 no-shows. 41 of these. That you start seeing 7,000 no-shows and they don't have the collective television fees and revenue that the NFL does, you can have a greater impact as a fan. I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you what to do or
you
what
can
not
do
to do.
Whatever, what I tell fans,
yes.
Again, fan the way you want to fan.
Fan the way
you want to boycott, boycott. But
yes.
Don't fault me if I still want to go.
Absolutely.
Because there's only 10 dates and I only go to one game a year and I like to tailgate and it's
correct.
A family thing. I'll tell you this, that in 2006, my mom just found the article about this. They wrote this up when Carmen and I were doing crazy radio before you, Waddle, back in the day and night. Back in 2006, it was the only year I boycotted a Chicago team. I boycotted the Cubs. And I also canceled my Tribune subscription. And for whatever it was worth, when I called the cancel, when you'd call them on the line,
yeah.
And you tell them, I told them, I'm canceling my subscription until the Tribune company cares about what they put out on the field for the Cubs. Now, that was just probably some person telemarketer answering the phone. But it made me feel better.
Sure.
I stopped giving my money to the Chicago Tribune, who owned the Chicago Cubs, and I didn't go to a single game that year.
And I support that. And I would never tell you you were silly or stupid or whatever for doing that. My only point to all of this is that it's really hard to punish an NFL team. With 9 or 10 home games, counting the preseason, it's easier for fans to punish Major League Baseball teams, the NBA teams, the NHL teams, because they play so many other games. The NFL is an insulated monster economically, and so you can do that. All I'm saying to you is, and maybe it will have an impact, from the perspective of the ownership group, I'm just telling you it's a different animal, and it's harder to get to them that way than it is other sports franchises.
332-3776 if you want to participate. Jay Cutler is going to participate. He's Can't Miss Radio, and he joins us at 3. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. So our troops are coming home. Every business should be finding ways to thank and honor them for their service. It's what the Home Loan Expert does. They've created the Hero Loan. Check them out at theheroloanexpert.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Dan Pompey, Hall of Fame writer.
I guess he called me, or maybe he was listening to the show. No, he wasn't.
I don't know if he's in the Hall of any Hall of Fame.
He should be.
He votes for the Hall of Fame.
Great guy.
He is, he's basically the dean of NFL writers in this town, right?
He's a guy, too, that, like, when your case needs to be pitched in front of the Hall of Fame, like, Dan's your guy.
Yeah.
Like, Dan helped Dan Hampton get in, probably, I don't know if... of he was an advocate. I know he was an advocate for Jimbo. Like you find someone that covers the team that knows his stuff and then presents that player in, and Dan does a brilliant job.
When I was like 24 covering the Bears up at the old Hallis Hall, there were a couple of writers who were on the beat for a while who were jerks to me. I was a young radio reporter. We're in this closed-in room, so radio guys had to be sitting in the same room. And then we would be, we'd have to be recording our voicers. And, Dan Pompey, who was a stud writer then, was always cool to me and always cool to the young writers. There are still people involved in the media that I'm referring to who are jerks.
Yeah. Well, Dan's a young guy, too. Like, Dan is kind of a contemporary age-wise with us. But he's one of the guys that you would sit at your locker after a game and you would talk to. It was a different time back then as well. I think you probably acknowledge that as well.
Right.
With the relationship between the players and the guys that were around the team a lot, it was closer. I mean, it wasn't like everyone was buddies back in the days of the 50s and 60s where the Major League Baseball writers and the players would go to dinner.
Right.
But there was a better relationship.
So anyway, Pompey just tweeted out, source, George McCaskey addressed the Bears players and coaches today and told them there was no truth to the report that Matt Nagy will be fired after the game Thursday.
So maybe my bet last segment is going to come true and I'm going to win some money.
Well, he leaves the old loophole open because he said after the game Thursday, this could be fired on Friday morning.
Look, we all have sources, we all have people, we all have a lot of stuff. It's hard for me to even kind of project or predict anything because things are changing so quickly and you hear so many different things. I kind of heard some of the same stuff, but I wouldn't want to ever attach my name to anything because you get run over by a freight train the next, 2 hours later. Look, it's a horrible situation. It is. The thing that Biggs reported yesterday as well about Matt canceling all the meetings and everything, that I think was the biggest, to me, that was the biggest beacon leading to people believing that, yes, Matt Nagy was going to be fired at the end of, Thursday's game or on Friday. So, listen, unless something goes sideways.
But Waddle, that we were just talking about the owner getting involved in the quarterback situation. Yeah. Wouldn't it be very Bears, who had the plan to fire him after this game, it leaked. And I think we talked about this with Weederer yesterday. Them react to the news cycle instead of the other way around. And then say, oh, yeah? Well, now we're not going to fire them.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? What do you mean you don't know? Again, them the Bears.
Yeah, I just said anything's possible. I didn't dismiss it. I just said I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they do. Like, again, I look at their track record has been they don't fire people midstream. They just don't.
They also don't buy land in Arlington Heights, like you've mentioned countless times.
That's an excellent point.
In the last 100 years. You know what I mean?
That's an excellent point. Now the question is do we – because that was a – if now Dan is right, okay, which, I trust Dan as much as I trust anyone in the business, then the full story that came from the other guy from the Patch – is not accurate, right? Or you're saying that maybe they switched
again?
Gears.
Like, well, let's see how this plays out. With this team, you just never know. You never know. Oh, it's just true. You never know. They're so backwards. Mike and Tinley, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Hello, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
I was thinking before you mentioned that caller that the Bears. I'm like you, Sylvia. I remember that press conference after the season last year where the bookkeeper said he knew football and Phillips said that the rest of us didn't know anything and they were staying, and I thought, you're going to be sorry. I can't wait. And sure as heck, like you said, here they are. But up until, they all put their heads in the sand. Who in the name of God would want to work for such a classless, gutless operation like them? That's my question. Have a great Thanksgiving, guys.
Thanks,
well, there's only 32 of these. I mean, I guess if you're asking the question, and I'll answer it, is like, it's the same question that people ask, why would any coach want to come in here and clean up this? Because there's only 32 of these, and it's the charter franchise. And if you have leverage and you have other options, you may decide that this isn't the spot for you. But if you're not someone that sits in that chair with leverage, there are a lot of people that would clamor for the job to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears if that job became open.
I heard the conversation between Connor and Cap this morning. I thought it was an interesting one because I think it's easy to sit now and say that. But remember, 2 years ago, when the Bulls were the crap show that they were, with the same Gar Pax thing fronting it, with the ownership group that really hasn't won since Michael walked out, did you ever think that they could land Billy Donovan? And then what does a good front office sweeping, that's what that does. Did you ever think the Cubs and Tom Ricketts could land Theo Epstein and then land Joe Maddon? Did you ever think that the Blackhawks at a time could get Joel Quenneville, who's one of the all-time winningest coaches in the history of hockey? There are always men who think that they're so good that they could fix it.
And some of them are. Some of them are so good that they do fix it, but it's got to come. This is what I'll tell you as well that I believe. I believe the next coach that comes in here, and I do believe there will be a coaching change. I don't believe it'll be after this game. I may be wrong, but there will be a coaching change at some point. if you're looking for a top-tier guy, that top-tier guy, the trend in the NFL now is to be paired with your own general manager that you have a hand picking. I don't see a scenario where there will be one of these top-level guys that would want to come here and work with Ryan, who's been in this role for 7 years.
No, you're right.
So you could get, let's just say, a guy like Ryan Day, who has been in, you know, in the news. Obviously, he was, you know, he's doing great things at Ohio State. He was Justin Fields' coach. If Ryan Day was to be mentioned as a potential guy to take over for the Bears, I find it hard to believe that Ryan would be enticed by working with with Ryan Pace. He would want to be paired with his own general manager,
right,
that he has a voice in choosing.
And if they do this again, Waddle, where again they keep putting different people together who on different timelines, right? Yeah. Like Dick Geron was the coach. Jerry Angelo gets the first GM job in years for the Bears. He is forced to keep Dick Geron for a year to see if they could work together. Later, Dick Geron ends up winning in 01. They keep him for a couple more years, and then boom, he fires Dick Geron. And then Jerry Angelo tries to get Saban. They fail on their pursuit for Saban. They end up settling for Lovie. All right, so then all of a sudden, Lovie's here. Jerry gets fired. They hire Phil Emery. Phil Emery now is not allowed to fire Lovie Smith that he wants to. Spend it for a year. We waste another football year. And then he fires Lovie. And then, you know what I mean? So now you're going to continue to pair guys who are on different timelines together. And that's no way of doing business.
Can't do it.
It's just a failure. Jay Cutler will weigh in. He's been inside that building. He knows the way the building is run. Is he surprised by what's going on at Hallis Hall? We'll find out from Jay Cutler in 2 short minutes.